الحمد لله رب العالمين
والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث مشهور إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. Qibla Qari Sahib, respected elders, brothers in Islam, today's hadith is a very important and famous saying of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he tenders two pieces of advice to the believers. One is to do with the ahkam, the rulings of Islam, of how to deal with everyday matters. And the second piece of advice tendered by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a spiritual piece of advice. An advice which tells us that in order to live a trouble-free, a serene and tranquil life, then the part of the body that we must be most, show most importance to, show the effort to look after, is the heart. This consists the most important part of the human body. The first part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ. The Prophet said that in Islam, those things which are halal, permissible, is absolutely clear in the Quran and Sunnah. وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ. And those things which are forbidden in Islam, they are clear-cut as well. Meaning what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us is that the things you are allowed to do as a Muslim, permissible for you, halal for you, that is clear-cut for you. It has been specifically mentioned, crystal clear for you. And on the other side, those things which are prohibited in Islam, that too is very clear to you. For instance, gambling, adultery, lying, all of these kind of acts, quite clearly time and time again we are reminded that they are forbidden. A Muslim should not be in any doubt whatsoever what is jais for him, permissible for him, what is impermissible for him in Islam. The Prophet then went on to say, وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Between these two extremes, the one of those things which are permissible, halal, and between those things which are haram, between that is a grey area. بَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Between them is those matters which are disputed, which are unclear. أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ, the word أُمُور means matters. Mushtabihat is an Arabic word, it comes from the root word shubha. Shubha means doubt. So what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that there is always going to be an area within the two extremes of al-halal and haram that some people will not know whether it is permissible or not. Why do we not know about this? Is it because Islam is incomplete and it did not tell us about this grey area? Is it that our religion has some shortcomings in it? Or because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform, ma'azallah, his task properly? If there is a grey area that we do not know about, then the reason we do not know about it is because of our shortcomings. It is because we have not made the effort to know about it. It is not because Islam is incomplete. It is not because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform his task incompetently in any way. And then the words of the hadith go on to reflect that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, that most people do not know about this grey area. And it is their shortcomings. So in essence, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing is telling people that you should try to make an effort to know about this middle area. Try to find out those things. You know there are certain things which are allowed in Islam. You know there are certain things which are forbidden. Make the effort to know about those things in the middle. What should we do about this area? Well, firstly, and quite most importantly, if we do not know about certain matters in Islam, then we should ask the Ahl-e-Ilm. We should ask the people of knowledge. Something reflected in the teachings of the Holy Quran, where Allah Almighty says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الزِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That ask the people of zikr. Zikr here means knowledge. Ask the people of knowledge if you are not sure of anything. And that is obviously a logical argument. If we are not sure, if there is something wrong with our health and we are not sure what is going on with our bodies, then we go to the doctors because they are the experts. If there's something wrong with our car and we do not know what the problem is, we go to the mechanic. In exactly the same way, if you're not sure about something in our religion, then we go to the experts and we get an opinion from them. If we do not have the opportunity to ask the ulama, if, for instance, we cannot get someone's opinion straight away, what should we do if we come across a matter that we are not sure whether this is forbidden or whether this is allowed in Islam? This is the remainder of the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what should we do about this grey area in between? He said, فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبَهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْدِهِ. Whoever avoids doubtful matters, he clears himself in regard to his religion and his honor. If he is not sure about something, if he decides to refrain from it because he is not sure about it, then he is protecting his religion and he is protecting his honor. If in doubt, basically the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, stay away from it, refrain from it. And this will protect your Islam, your Iman, and this will protect your honor as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went on to say, وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. And whoever decides to freely indulge in this grey area, وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, then eventually he will be performing an act which is forbidden. He will come across some problems. And then the Prophet gave a beautiful example to expand on this point. He said, كَرَّائِ يَرَعَ حَوْلَ الْهِمَا يُشِكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. The Prophet asks us to imagine that there is a farmer, and this farmer, he has been given a certain amount of land. For argument's sake, just say he has been given a hectare of land. And this land he has kept for his sheep who eat and graze from this land. Around this hectare, there are other farms belonging to other farmers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks us to think and says that when the sheep graze in the middle of that land, then the farmer knows that his animals are not trespassing on anybody else's property. If the sheep stay within the boundaries, then the farmer has no worries whatsoever. However, if the farmer allows the sheep to move closer and closer to the boundaries of his land, then fair enough, he can keep an eye on them and he may be able to see where the border is. But sooner or later, the sheep might start trespassing. They might go over onto the other side. And the landowners of the adjacent land, they may see this as a problem. They may begin to get angry with this farmer and say that you are trespassing my land. Eventually, if the farmer does not pay attention to these boundaries, then it will create a very, very big problem for him. And he will be indulging, he will be allowing his flock to indulge in those areas which he shouldn't be. In exactly the same way the Prophet here is saying is that you know what is jais, permissible, and you know what is najais, impermissible. If you keep that grey area, if you keep trying to pushing the boundaries, if you try to keep pushing your luck, because you do not know the exact rulings about it, eventually you will do a haram, something haram. Eventually you will perform a forbidden act. So until you are not sure whether this is allowed in Islam, whether this is forbidden in Islam, then stay away from that. And we know that in our everyday life, the issue of trespassing is a very serious issue. That we have seen cases and court cases up and down the country where people have built on other people's land and how much trouble it causes. I mean, we've seen on an international scale that nations and countries, they are obviously, they make sure that they maintain their borders very strictly and ensure that other neighboring countries do not try to violate those boundaries in any way. And in fact, not just on the ground, but airspace as well. You will see that nations and countries, they tried to protect their airspace. And sometimes there are diplomatic rows of all sorts that happen because people are not respecting the airspace above them. And exactly the same way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah wa inna li kulli malikin himan, that know that every single type of kingdom, every single type of land has its own boundaries. And these boundaries you have to respect. And then the Prophet went on to say, Allah wa inna himallahi maharimuhu, that the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is those things which He has made haram. Those things which He has clearly said are forbidden in Islam, these are the boundaries of Allah. So if you cross these boundaries, then quite clearly you are going to earn the wrath of Allah. You are going to be subject to His anger. You are going to be subject to His punishment. So in exactly the same way the Prophet is reminding us, in exactly the same way we go to extremes to ensure we respect the boundaries of our neighbors, of fellow countries, then think how severe the crime would be if we do not respect the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we do not respect what He has laid down. The rest of the hadith, this is the main part of the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly then is asking us to be aware of what is halal and what is haram in Islam. Be aware of these issues. And if we are unsure about these, then we should ask the people of knowledge, we should ask the ulama. Of course, this is not to say that if we are competent in Islam, if we have a basic understanding of Islam, if we know Arabic, we should not look up these issues ourselves. It is not to say that we always ask the ulama. If we are able, if we are competent, then we should look up these Muslim masail ourselves. But one thing I will say, and something that I have seen up and down this country recently, is that a lot of our youngsters, when they study about Islam, when they read about Islam, then sometimes they are reading the wrong sources for the information they are after. Nowadays we see that there are many translations available of, for instance, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, the Muwatta of Imam Malik. One common mistake our youngsters are making is that when it comes to fiqh issues, issues about fiqh, for instance, how to read Salah, they are looking for that in Ahadith book. They are looking in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. Bukhari and Muslim Sharif are Ahadith book. They are not fiqh books. If you want to study fiqh, you look at fiqh books. You look at Quduri, you look at Kanzut Taqaiq, Nur al-Izzah, Al-Hidayah, all of these other books. In Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, basically, their objective when they compiled this book was to take down everything the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Their intention was not to make a fiqh book. And what can happen is that if a person does not have a deep understanding of Islam, if he wants to learn about Islam, for instance, about how to perform Salah, if he just looks on Sahih al-Bukhari, then he will not be able to perform Salah properly. In Bukhari Sharif, there are equal number of ahadith which talk about what the Shafi'is, what the Malikis do, the Rafa Yadain in Salah. And there were equal ahadith in other books as well where this act is not reported from the Prophet. If a person is trying to learn his fiqh from these books, what will he act upon? In some ahadith say that the Prophet did used to raise his hand, and some he'll say he didn't. There is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to eat roasted meat, meat that was cooked directly on fire, he used to perform wuzu again. And the Sahaba understood from this that if you eat roasted meat, then it breaks your wuzu. This hadith is to be found in Bukhari Sharif. Yet, there are other ahadith, again you can find them in the Muslim, in Tirmidhi, in the Muwatta Imam Malik, the Musnad, where the Prophet did not do wuzu when he ate roasted meat. My point is that if you try to understand fiqh from the ahadith books, you will get nowhere. If you want to understand fiqh, you read it from fiqh books. And if you want to know about the ahadith compilation, then by all means read Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. So this is, I mean, it is nice, that it is good to hear that our youngsters are taking interest in these kind of matters. But we must be careful to take the right information from the right places. Otherwise, you know as well as I do that you can find ahadith which talk about alcohol being jais. And of course, alcohol was permissible at one time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you can't act upon this now. Why? Because it has been abrogated. So we must be very careful in these matters. The last part of the hadith is a beautiful few words from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he talks about our spiritual well-being. The Prophet said, Allah wa inna fil jasadi mudghatan iza sarahat salahal jasadu kullu. That be aware that there is a part in the body that when this part is well, when it is right, then the whole body will be right. The whole body will be healthy. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. And when this part is full of disease, when it is not well, then the whole body will feel that disease, will feel that illness. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Truly it is the heart. That if a person wants spiritual well-being as well as physical well-being, then a part of the body that he must look after most is his heart. This constitutes the most important part in the physical body. And this is through this that we can win success in this world and in the hereafter. We have seen that here in the West, unfortunately, that we are more worried about our outward appearance than our inner appearance. All our effort is geared towards how we look physically outwardly, not how we look inwardly. We see that in this country, the cosmetics industry is a multi-billion pound industry now in this country. Not just for women, for men now as well. Over the last couple of years now, we see that certain types of cosmetic and plastic surgery is available on the National Health Service. That taxpayers' money is going towards plastic surgery nowadays. This is the kind of situation we find ourselves in. We've seen that over the last 2-3 years, the government has become obsessed with obesity, of how some people are overweight. It is a serious issue here now. I mean, just this week, there was a report on the BBC radio that a school in Derby, the teachers there have been given the authority to look through the packed lunch boxes of children to see what they are eating. They've officially been given permission to do that. This is how obsessed now the government is to ensure that we do not have fat children in the future. And unfortunately, it never dawns on the government or upon the West that perhaps we should be looking at their hearts as well, not just their packed lunch boxes. We should be looking at their moral health, not just their physical health, because this is what's going to count. We can have people who are physically fit, but if they are morally corrupt, and if they ethically they are worthless, then what is the point of a healthy society? And unfortunately, we see that in the West, that the problems are there in front of them, but they seem to avoid them. Rather, they're looking for other types of solutions to this. The real issues that we should talk about in this country are the moral issues, the ethical issues, about what is happening to our children, where is the respect gone, what kind of things should be allowed, what kind of things should be disallowed in a society that we live in. But unfortunately, we have an obsession now with how we look physically. This is totally against what Islam says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْلُمْ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On the day of judgment, a person, his wealth and his children, all of his material possession, will be of no benefit whatsoever. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The only thing which will have any true value on the day of judgment is a person who comes to Allah with a sound heart.
Subhanallah.
This is the main area that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at. He will not look at our bank balances. He will not look how fat we were or how thin we were. This is irrelevant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to say that being physically well is something which Islam does not promote. Of course it does. But the first point of call is the spiritual well-being. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, that when the body is spiritually well, then the whole body feels that spirituality and that wellness. But if the main engine, if the main part of the body is corroded, if it is corrupt, if it has become black without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how physically well can we be? These are the the special, the gilt-head wedge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives us to encourage us to rectify our a'mal, to show more spirituality, to understand the gift of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and to try to use that to the best of our ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand what is halal and what is haram in Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to come on the Day of Judgment with a sound heart.
Ameen.
Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghu al-mubin.
Can I make a comment? I'm allowed to. This doubtful things, beautiful hadith of halal, halal is clear and haram is clear. One aspect of doubtful thing is the food we eat. Many of the brothers, youngsters eat crisps, chocolates, chewing gums. And many of these foods, it's difficult to find out whether they're halal or not, 100%. And they go into that sort of category of doubtful. Because we don't know, because it's like a maze of ingredients and ingredients. We go through through a number of countries as well, right through the world, to trace how it's made, what does it contain, what the traces are. And many of these things today are becoming more doubtful as we go along. It's very difficult to find out it's halal or not 100%. So, I mean, basically, ulama's advice, and this hadith says very clearly, we should refrain from this sort of food, even if we're not sure it's halal or not. This food aspect is such an important role, you might touch on this sometime later. Our worship and bada depends on eating halal food and going to Jannah, or flesh going to Jannah or not, depends on how we nourish our bodies with halal or haram food. But I think that's one of the aspects, I think, as well, not only the knowledge, but this certain knowledge what we are eating, the food we are eating, we have to be absolutely sure it's halal before we eat. And there's no excuse for that. If we're not sure, then we should really leave it out, even if we like it or not.
Haji Yusuf is absolutely right. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described a man who's been on a long journey, and he's tired, and he needs the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And normally when a person is travelling, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his prayer straight away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this person, he raises his hands and he says, Ya Allah, please help me, Ya Allah, please give me this, give me that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns around and says, Wa mat'amuhu haramun, wa mashrabuhu haramun, that his eating, what he's eating is haram, what he is drinking is haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. So why would I answer his prayers now? That the basic criteria for the acceptance of dua is the halal food and halal drinks. And when we consume haram food, then our duas are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's something that we should pay very close attention to. And as the hadith stipulates, that if we are not sure, then perhaps we should refrain from it. If we are not sure about certain matters, then perhaps it is better to ask the people of knowledge like Yusuf by... or if we do not have that means, then to simply refrain from it.
Subhanallah.
There's one important announcement that inshallah ta'ala from next week, this Darse Hadith will be after Maghrib prayer. So I believe by next Saturday, Maghrib will be at about 6:15. So please, from next week onwards, this Dars will be held after Maghrib prayer. Jazakallah khair. آمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم رب اشرح لنا صدورنا ويسر لنا أمورنا واحلل عقدة من ألسنتنا يفقهوا قولنا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.